Welcome to the Grace Hour Show. Happy New Year's Eve. This is the Grace Hour Show. It is a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jesse Fires, and I'm joined today by a special guest, Ben Sku.
Yes.
Ben Sku, welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
All the way from Finland. He's here for the new year. He flies back today, actually.
Yeah, 8:30 p.m.
8:30 p.m. Man, you're going to miss the ball drop. You're going to be going up when the ball's dropping.
Yep.
You're going up when the new year's changing over. That's awesome.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah,
Christmas, Christmas was a big deal.
Yes.
But New Year's, you know, it's fine.
I know.
Cheap tickets, you know.
Nobody's flying on New Year's?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. No.
Hopefully you get two seats by yourself. Well, yeah. Are you flying with the family?
I'm going back with my wife.
Okay.
My
and the baby?
Daughter.
Oh.
I'm putting that Elmo TV show on so she'll calm down if she's crying.
Little Except for you or the baby?
Maybe for me too, yeah. We'll all be crying.
Elmo.
Yeah, yeah.
Elmo's a good show. Anyways, happy New Year's Eve, everybody. So today we have an amazing, this whole week's been amazing about the calling of God. Today we have our title, When God's Calling Leads Through Trials. So we have a fun episode for you today. We're going to unpack that as best as we can. Lord, just guide us, lead us today, Father. And your calling is just an amazing possession, amazing thing that you speak to us and you use in our lives. And you called each and every one of us by name and help us to explain why there are trials during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Ben Sku, lead us off here, Kurt.
All right. So, trials, right? Calling and trials. So, the two passages are James 1. Mm-hmm. 2-4, maybe we can read them, right?
Yeah, perfect.
And then Romans 8:28. Maybe let's start with Romans 8:28. And then James 8:28, and just a comment there. So yeah, it says that, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And then it's how is this related to calling? Actually talks about calling later on, 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So we see this amazing grand plan. And just in case there's a doubt about, you know, maybe I'm not in there because I don't really love God. But I would argue in 1 Peter 1, it says like, we love him though we don't see him. Peter's addressing the believers, the new man inside of you, the new man, the Holy Spirit inside of us loves God. So that's all believers. The whole context is all believers. You don't have to be assured that you are now loving God in the perfect way. Even Peter himself, right? He said, I cannot agape you, Jesus, in John 21, but I phileo you. So we are growing in our love. So don't get tripped up in that verse that, oh, I don't love God. Therefore, all things are not working together for good. They are.
Yeah.
They are. And we, as believers, all of us love God in the new man.
Yeah.
So we can see ourselves in this verse. And we see that the calling is a very big thing that in 2 Timothy 1, the calling is given before the ages began. I think it was previously mentioned in the Grace Hour, maybe yesterday.
Okay.
It's the calling is given before the ages began. Paul said in Galatians 1 that he was set apart from the womb. You know, so this calling is such a big thing. So all things work together for good for us. And what does it mean? Everything in this life is somehow bringing about us to conformity to who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And trials, what we think, how does that play a part in it?
Yeah.
I would say it plays a huge part.
Yeah.
But trials is not necessarily what we think, I think it's way bigger also. Mm. In the same way, the calling is way bigger. So we can maybe go to James 1. Did that make sense?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So claim that Romans 8:28 is for you. You believer, you know.
Yeah.
We all love God.
Yeah.
We are born again. So James 1.
And we don't know or love God, you know. The only way we're able to do that is because he first loved us.
That's exactly right.
And so it's like understanding his love first. So maybe it's not like, hey, I don't love God, you know. It's maybe I don't really know him. I don't have that relationship with him. And I don't know this love, this agape love that you're talking about. And Peter was battling too as well. I phileo you. And you see through the, you know, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, just like the growth in Peter's life. Mm. And it's a continual, it's going to happen throughout our whole life, like this just development, this growth, this not really understanding the calling and walking in it by faith and whatnot. So, and this is a good scripture that you're going to read that's kind of going to open it up to trials.
Yeah. So everything in our lives is meaningful.
Is good.
And
right?
In Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
And that has it has a big purpose. Everything in our lives has a big purpose and is working for the good and is working for us growing, becoming more like Jesus. So anyway, James 1:2 forward, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Okay. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's two things that are really interesting. Trials of various kinds. And I forget the Greek word. I was looking at it. Is it, maybe I wrote it down, what trial is. Yeah, it's perasmos, trials. Mm. The Greek word.
Perasmos.
Perasmos. Yeah.
Trials.
I don't know how you pronounce it, actually.
It sounded good.
Yeah. But what do you think about, like, what do you think when someone says a trial? Like, usually when someone says a trial, I only think this one narrow kind of a concept of suffering or the sickness coming to me. Mm. But it's interesting here that it says, like, there are different types of trials.
Yeah.
Like there are various kinds, manifold trials. So we see that there are not only like this one type of a suffering trial, but there could be interesting types of trials. It could be that you're going through a trial that you don't even know that you're going through a trial. Mm. And then the question is, what is a trial? And I think if you read forward, it answers it. For you know that the testing of your faith. Mm. So what is a trial? What's the purpose of a trial? It is the testing of your faith. Mm. And now, faith in what? Mm. Faith in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
So therefore, God might be testing us, sending trials in our lives to test any area that is revealed in the word. God might be sending little situations that might be testing a verse like, do all things without complaining. Mm. You know, that could be a trial and you don't even know. There are hundreds of verses, right? Thousands of verses. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, quoting Deuteronomy. So trials is so much bigger than we think. There could be different types of trials. And I don't want to ramble too long about that. I want to maybe give you I have a lot to say about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing topic. I like how you pointed out too. It's not just like one particular thing, you know, it could be, you know, it could be big, but it could be something so small that is challenging, what we put faith in, you know, Pastor Schaller always talks about the, you know, God's in the house and, but there's different rooms that are like closed off and he's not in. Mm. And so maybe he's, you know, testing me because I'm putting faith kind of in, we could say my own strength or, you know, my personality or whatever it is, I'm kind of putting faith in this in an area and God's going to, you know, put a trial in my life to show us that. But I love it because God, you know, before he positions us, he prepares us. And I think that this is what trials are doing. They're preparing us for something. Mm. Like trials are not like a detour. Like it feels like, because I'm going through a trial, I'm not in this call.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I'm not in the call. I'm not doing the right thing. God must be doing this because I'm doing something wrong. And so I always put this on trials or on things that happen in my life. Like I'm doing something wrong or something's not right. But what this verse is saying in the context here is that trials are actually, you're actually on the right track in a way.
Confirmation of it, yeah.
And God is using this to prepare you. Mm. It's kind of like training grounds. You know, I think of, you know, being a personal trainer into fitness. It's the start of the work that is really kind of hard too. Well, you start and it's easy, but then trials start to come. So that's kind of like working out too as well. You get in there, you know, it's New Year's Day tomorrow. Everybody's New Year's revolution is to work out, get healthy, cut the sugar, you know, get fit.
That's my plan.
I know, as I said, the sugar.
Yeah.
And we do it, and it's the beginning and saying it and writing it down and saying it, okay, you know, maybe accepting Jesus and Christ in our life. That's kind of like the easy part in a way. Then we get to, you know, the sanctification process. Then we get into walking with God and trials start to come in. And it's not so easy. Just like working out, I'm in now, it's day three. Now it's day four. My muscles are screaming at me and they don't want to go back to the gym, you know? And this is like trials in a way. It could really push me away and I could see it as a negative thing and I could like back off. But really the important thing is that like, wow, a trial's in my life and God's working something. I don't know what it is, but God's working something in my life and let me press on and let him search me and let him teach me something because this is training grounds for me. I'm uncomfortable, but yeah. And I think this is, and it works patience. And that's a huge thing that we all need as believers, patience, because some trials maybe are, you know, quick and easy and done with and God deals with it. Others may last a couple of days, a couple of years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's an example of a trial in the Bible of a man of God, you know? And I think the first one that comes to mind is always Abraham.
Job.
Okay, Job. Maybe you're right. I think that's Job. It is Job. But
use the Abraham.
Yeah. We'll use the Abraham one since I said it. Because there, maybe we can just read it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 22.
Okay.
Because like, as I pointed out, like trial, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the testing of your faith in James 1. Yeah. Trial is not something arbitrary. I like how Peter puts it in 1 Peter that if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, like for the sake of your faith.
Yeah.
You know? So trials are not arbitrary, but they come, they have a specific purpose. And I remember in Bible school, we were taught, like God doesn't send trials so that we fail. He sends trials knowing that we can pass them. And he was talking about Abraham, and it could be that sometimes it's not necessary. God doesn't take pleasure in like arbitrary pains or weird things, but he has a purpose in it.
Yeah.
And if necessary, we've been grieved by various trials. But here is an example of a trial, of a testing of sorts, testing of our faith. Abraham is tested. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So that was a trial. It was a test. And what shall we say about it? But Abraham passed the trial. He passed the test. And it's interesting how God, the son doesn't get killed, you know?
Yeah.
And then God says something very interesting. We can maybe go later talk about that, not right now, but he's just like, now I know that you fear me. It's like such an interesting verse. Like in a sense, does God not know? Like, yes, he knows, but what's in there, I don't know, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but that's a very good story, you know, of God testing
Yeah. And then what it was faith, right? Faith from Abraham. That
Yeah. So what was the testing? It was the word of God, the testing of his faith in the promise that God had given to Abraham, that it is through Isaac that Sarah's son, like that son, that offspring, that all the nations are going to be blessed. He's going to have a nation through Isaac. Mm. So the word of God was being tested. Does Abraham believe that? Mm. So this was a severe, very extreme test. And Hebrews 11 interestingly reveals how Abraham had an optimistic way of thinking about it. He's like, well, I guess since God is faithful to his word, he's going to have to raise him up. He had resurrection faith.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I mean, he was given something that even was a miracle itself, right? You know, just like having the son to even get to this point. It's just like he was so just blown away or so just like, okay, God, like, wow. Like, you did a miracle in my life. You did something that I didn't think could happen.
Mm.
But, you know, and then we also see him going just by faith to a land he's never been.
Mm.
Like it was different kind of levels of trials that you could say that built up to this bigger one.
That's right.
Offering your son. But through it, like he was going through this battleground, this testing, you know, little by little. And then God put this in my life. He's like, all right, Abraham, you've been going by faith, you know, but now I'm going to put something in your life that you can handle. And I know you can. And this is going to be a beautiful picture of what I'm going to do actually in the future. And here it is.
That is so beautiful. Romans 4 talks about that Abraham grew in his faith.
Mm.
He did not weaken in his faith. I wonder what it says there. Like, he did not, maybe we can read that. It's very interesting. But Romans 4.
Thank you guys for listening. We have some good day, young men. Good day to you. Happy New Year's. Thank you for tuning in. We're just flipping through scripture right now. We're at Romans 4. What?
Yeah, Romans 4. It would be verse 19. Sorry, 18. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. This is very good. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since it was about 100 years old. That's a very good verse. Do we sometimes weaken in faith when we consider natural realm? Sometimes I can weaken in faith when I consider myself. But Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. Sometimes I can weaken in faith, like, oh, I have to go to bed. I calculate life in the natural level, excluding the possibility of supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when faith comes in. And I don't want to weaken in faith when I consider me, when I consider the natural realm.
Mm.
Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. See, the word of God is tested here.
Yeah.
Promises of God are tested here. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised.
Wow.
So it's very interesting. I like the thought also, when you mentioned about the gym and God entrusting the perfect trial to us. Meaning, like, when you go to the gym and, like, in you mentioned the gym. I'm just adding to it. Like, we might fear the trials coming to us. It's like, okay, I'm able to bench press. How much do you bench press? I don't know.
200.
Yeah, I don't know how the pounds were. I'm thinking in kilos, you know.
Let's see, 145, 90, 45, 135 it did today.
Oh, did you go to the gym today?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, did you do bench press?
Yes.
Okay, what was your workout?
135. I'm not going to tell you the whole thing.
135?
135 is the one.
And let's say it's 3 times 10 or something like that.
8 times 10.
8 times 10, cool. So, like, you fearing a trial in a wrong way would be like, what if God is going to give me, like, this, like, 8 times 10 with this 500 pounds, like, you're not able to handle that. But we see in Abraham's life how the God was testing his faith according to his capacity, where also he had to be stretching a little bit. Like, first test was him having faith, resurrection faith, in the sense that God was able to bring the dead womb alive and bring a child.
Yeah.
And then that faith was growing. And then in Genesis 22, God, now Abraham was ready for the greater decree of that same trial, which was the resurrection faith being tested in the word of God in that sense.
Wow.
That now Abraham was like, I know that Sarah's womb was resurrected. I know that my dead body was resurrected. God's going to resurrect this child if I kill him. So it's very beautiful to know that God doesn't, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is common to man, but with every temptation, he will provide a way of escape that we're able to endure it. So we see that God is sovereign over our trials and temptations, and we can trust him with them. We can trust him. There's a good purpose. Maybe I'll just end there.
I think that is the point. It's just like trusting in God and building our capacity, you know, like you were talking about. He was talking about just like he did not weaken in faith. I thought that was beautiful. And I thought about, you know, God just even requires just a mustard seed of faith, you know, and that mustard seed could look so weak because it's so small. But really, it's just like that's all God requires, like just a little amount, and you could just hold on to that. And it's really his faith, right, that we're holding on to. It's Christ's faith, faith in him that he would resurrect his son. And it's just, that's just a beautiful testament. And I was thinking, you know, before we're talking about, I'm just thinking about like continuing and just as you're going through this process, this trial, I think the natural thing is to, you know, give up, to question, to kind of just, you know, be to myself. I love it in John 8:31, Jesus says, to his disciples, if you are my disciples, then continue in my word. And we're talking about the word of God, the promises of God, and that being strong in our life. And that really, what did he say? He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You're called, you're a disciple, you are called by God, but then it's the continue part. I think that is like a huge thing. Is to continue, because there's going to be different trials and situations that, you know, men of God have gone through and you're going to go through in your life. At different levels, maybe, and he'll, you know, like I was doing 135 today, I'm not going to do 500 tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to take time for me to get, I'm never going to get there, but we're just thinking hypothetically, it's going to take a long time for me to prep myself to get to 500. And that's how God is in our life. Like, we're baby Christian, you know, newborn, and we're just getting the sincere milk of the word, and then we're eating the meat of the word, and now we got the meat, and now trials and challenges are coming in my life, and testing my faith.
Very interesting, that portion in 1 Peter 2. There's like a connection. I think I remember this from Foundations class, in 1 Peter 2 and 1 Kings 6. If I may. Yeah,
you may.
1 Peter. Like the spiritual growth talk. As you mentioned. So if you want to read 1 Peter 1, then meanwhile I'll be looking.
1 Peter 1, 6?
1 Peter 2.
1 Peter 2.
1. I'll read 2 through. 2 through.
1 Peter 1, 2 through 5.
1 Peter 2.
1 Peter 2, 2 1 through 5.
2 through 5.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Yeah, also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
So there's a lot in there, but maybe focusing on that verse, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by man and in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So this is the building process where trials come in, molding us, shaping us, God using different situations in life to get the life of Jesus manifested in our mortal bodies, 2 Corinthians 4. And now there's a beautiful connection to 1 Kings 6, because this is talking about, it's using the picture of the temple and the stones in the temple, and Peter is using that.
Yeah.
And beautiful verse I remember being mentioned in 1 Kings 6, 7, about the preparation of those stones in the house.
Yeah.
It says that when the house was built, 1 Kings 6, 7, when the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the house while it was being built. So the thought is that people don't always see the trials. It's like inward things that are inward pressures, fears within, and however Paul says it in 2 Corinthians. And like, it's the needlework of the Holy Spirit working in our emotions, you know, in our thoughts, and the little frustrations. These could be the little trials. Mm. And I would say there are more trials than we maybe think, and we don't have to be afraid of them, you know. But these are shaping us, and no one is hearing those sounds that we're going through in our minds, you know. Yeah. The banging is happening, and like, no one knows that there's this secret struggle. But it is all working for good in Romans 8. 28.
Yes.
And that is the end goal of God. He knows that we can pass it, and he knows that there is an end goal, which is good. And it is, if necessary, we are grieved by various trials. We can trust God with trials, and he always prepares a way of escape. He's faithful. He's the perfect gym coach, you know. I just wanted to bring that. I think it's a beautiful thought.
That was good. Yeah. Amazing. I mean, I was, as you're reading, I was thinking of Romans 5, 3 through 5. Also a beautiful one about tribulations and trials. In verse 3, it says, and not only so about glorying, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations works patience, patience experience or character, and experience hope. In verse 5, too, as well. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So there's like a little process, and the starting point is these trials and tribulations that we're talking about. And then through that, this is when it says then patience is developed, you know? And so then God is working patience in this. And then the next point, now as after we receive patience, and then it develops into what? Character, or it says experience, right?
That's
and
right.
New King James. So it develops into character. So it's a... it's a building process, you know, and God is a great master builder, and he's the chief cornerstone. And we are stones too as well, lively stones is what you're saying. And there's a process to it. And I love it that you're saying it was like a – most of it is like an inner work. Mm. Like you can't really see it. You can't hear it. You know, the chainsaws aren't – and the hammers aren't hitting us in the head, you know, most of us.
Yeah.
You know, but most of the, you know, the trial and just the pain and the frustration that we can go through as believers in this call is happening inward, because that's where God is working. That's where he does his greatest work. And this is when the Holy Spirit, as we see, because that word character or experience is talking about the blacksmith refining gold, this refining process in our life. Like there's fire, there's trials in it. And you have to be patient with it, because, you know, as a blacksmith or, you know, it takes a lot of, articulation, and it takes just a process, and it's a very fine process, and it takes time, and God takes time with us. Thank God. You know, like, can you imagine if he just bombarded all of us with just, you know, all these different, he does in a way, but he like, if he gave us just like, okay, I'm going to just, you know, it's open. You know, even like with Job, like it took little by little almost, but like God like worked in him, and like he didn't unload it all on him at once, even though it kind of seemed like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Seemed like that. Yeah,
it kind of seemed like that in a way. But, you know, Job's whole story is just amazing. But that at the end of it, we see like, you know, I hear you with an ear, but now I see you.
And no bitterness.
Yeah.
No bitterness.
I mean, did the trial or did that thought of his, you know, past family and his cattle, and did that just go away? Like, no. Like, I'm sure, like, Job thought about this often, you know. But what did he see? He saw God in it. And he knows, just like Abraham knows, that like God is going to get me through this. I don't know why he's doing this, but he's working something greater in me than I know. Mm. So,
yeah, there's a, since we're talking about the call, you know, mm-hmm. and they've been addressing the call a little bit, the call of God, you know, what is that? And it's kind of like a very big thing. Or did you have something in mind?
No, I'm just reading.
Oh, okay. Just making sure I'm not overstepping it.
No, they said, Ben Sku and Jesse, great men of God. Thank you for answering your call. Did you get a call? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. It's a miracle.
No, we could continue.
Yeah, yeah. We're walking on prayer. Sometimes it feels like.
Well, maybe we could go into this next point.
Yeah.
Unless you have something, sir.
Just go to the next point. Maybe it'll come up later. I have too much to say. You need to stop me, you know. It's too much.
How about this? Yeah. This is our testimony. I mean, it's all focusing on the same thing, but our testimony is shaped by hardship. And this is kind of what we're already talking about. But I was reading this testimony the other day, and she gave a couple points. So I think it was called Life Church Online. I kind of just, you know, our generation likes to just search it on Google. And so that's what I did. I just kind of put this topic into Google and just search what I found. So, because this is what most people will find. And so it was like Life Church or something, but it was amazing testimony that this woman shared. So her and her husband felt a calling on their life to adopt or foster children. And they accepted the call and they adopted these beautiful children, and they're just thinking about how great it's going to be that they're going to, you know, raise these, you know, amazing children and whatnot. Mm. But then like God threw kind of a wrench in there where they had to adopt an older child because they're waiting for the papers to go with the parents that were going to take them. So they had to take this child in for, I think, 6 months or something like that, an older child. And there's just a lot of different trials, and it just seems like they were kind of putting God's call in the box as God then kind of tested it with this older child now coming in and producing more problems. So she says, our home felt heavy, our marriage felt strained, and I found myself questioning, wondering why this calling felt so hard. She gave 5 points that maybe I'll just share, we could go back and forth on. And so this is what she said. First point, God will test your boundaries. When we put limits on God's calling, he stretches us beyond to grow our faith. Back to the gym thing, working out is stretching your muscles, is putting strain or stress on your muscles. The call of God, he kind of does this too as well in our lives, right? He stretches us. He stretches our faith, our capacity, because we're babies at one point. We don't have much capacity. Mm. But as we're growing in faith, learning the word, and the Holy Spirit is shedding his love in us abroad, he's going to put little challenges in our life to say, okay, I'm going to stretch you in this area. And so that was the first point. Do you have anything at the top of your head, that first point? God will test our boundaries.
Yeah, I don't know if it relates a lot. Just a quick comment. You can continue with the list. But I want to say this. Is it if you're struggling with something, let's say there's the boogie monster. We're praying, God, take the boogie monster away. Is it a blessing that God takes it away, or is it a blessing that one day you'll be able to look at the boogie monster and say, you can be there, I don't care about you. Yeah. I can chill and I can sleep.
That's good.
So the blessing is that we get his character. He wants to bless us. Deuteronomy 8, he tested Israel in order to do them good in the end. So we see God's good purpose, you know, in Romans 8:28, all is working for good. God has a good purpose. He's not arbitrarily enjoying our suffering in any way. He has a good purpose. Everything God does is to bless us. But we just have always a different vision how it looks like. Let's not ever put God in the box in the way it should happen. Let's not put God in the box in his promises. He calls the shots how it happened, when it happens. And same thing, that was very good testimony. Joseph had the vision, one day he's going to reign over his brothers.
Yes.
Did he understand the path he was going to take?
Wow, no.
Psalm 105 says, the word of the Lord tested Joseph when he was in prison. It's very interesting. The word of God is so key in the testing. It's the testing of our faith in what God has said. And just there's something important there, and he's working his character inside of us.
Yeah.
And it's a very mysterious process. We don't claim to know everything about it. Mm. But just a comment.
Yeah, that's
whatever
beautiful.
You want to continue.
I love that. Like, you know, we're talking about our character kind of developing, building through these trials, but how does that really develop is me really partaking of his nature, of his character, of who he is, that he is gracious, that he is love, that he's not out to get me or wants me to stumble. Mm. You know, he warns us many times that you will go through various trials, you will go through persecution,
right.
You will go through suffering, but be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
Because I have overcome. There's something greater that you don't see that we talked about before. There's something greater that we have no clue why these trials or things are happening in our lives. Mm. But I like number two, what she says. The calling is often for our growth.
Yes.
Sometimes we think, okay, we're called on the mission field. We're called to do this thing. I'm going to change somebody's life. I'm going to save people. But sometimes, if not all the time, God is really working on you in that calling. Mm. Do you agree with that?
I do. In these testimonies of Abraham and Joseph.
Yes.
They didn't do anything like great in their like life per se, but they were just moved around by God, you know, in one sense.
Yeah.
So it was for their growth. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. I thought that was good, you know. Number three, the journey won't always be joyful. The fall in Christ can be painful. We kind of hit on that. Number four, attitude matters. I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Our response can shape the direction of our journey. Even when circumstances are hard or bitter, our attitude doesn't have to be bitter or hard.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about that? Attitude matters.
First thing came to mind is a quote from Proverbs 3 in Hebrews 12, like, don't be weary of the discipline of the Lord.
Mm.
Like we can be weary, have a bad attitude.
Wow.
And yes, trials and tests, we might not pass them. And I'm sure there are examples like in Abraham's life. Like
yeah.
I read something from Carl Silva where he was going through every test that Abraham went through. Mm. And he was saying he passed this one, but he failed the famine test. And then he passed this one, but he failed the test because he wanted to have a son through Hagar. So he didn't believe. So sometimes he failed the test, but sometimes he passed it. But God knows he works it all for good, you know?
Yes. Wow.
But yeah, anyway, we can be have a weary attitude. We can have a bad attitude. And, you know, we could fail the test.
Yeah.
But it's okay because God's bigger, you know?
Yes.
And it's all working for the good.
Yeah. And it's like rebounding. New mercies every morning.
Yeah.
Like we're going to get better. Life's going to stink sometimes. Our attitude's going to be obnoxious sometimes, but don't sit in it. Don't soak in it, you know? I like these quotes by Winston Churchill. He says, the pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity, but the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty.
Mm.
I love that mindset. I think it is a huge mindset because trials, you know, I could have a mindset on trials and they could be all negative and I could have a bubble and protective bubble that I don't want them and I'm good in my comfortable life. But as believers, we're not called to conformity, you know, to this world, but we're really conformed to Christ and we will suffer. And so how can I look at these trials and these circumstances and see opportunity in it? Not always just see I know it's difficult and I know I'm going through struggle, but I want to see the opportunity in it. I love that quote.
Yeah. And really going back to that attitude.
Yeah.
Abraham had the optimistic attitude.
Mm.
Optimism is the way we should go in our attitude in trials. Where do we get our optimism?
Wow.
From understanding that all things are possible for God.
Yes.
Understanding that nothing is impossible. That's where we get our optimism. It says in Psalm 34 that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Two times. Just meditate it in your life until that goes into your heart. You know, Abraham concluded the matter through optimism because he understood God's power of resurrection. But once again, if we're calculating life in the natural level, we're considering our own body, we're considering the natural, then we might weaken in faith. But Abraham did not weaken in faith considering his own body, but he considered God and his power.
Wow.
So it's, where are our eyes at, you know, focusing on God, his promises, waiting upon God. That's a good attitude to have.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a work in progress. It looks like Joseph was struggling, you know, and eventually he found that victory. Like he said, you know, God meant it for good, guys, you know. But he seemed to have struggled with some bitterness, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he found that victory. I don't know.
I mean, he was, him just weeping, you know, when he sees his brothers, you know, just like there was a struggle, there was a pain in there, you know.
Mm.
But like he saw the beauty of what God was doing and how God was using him. But he went through, man, so many different struggles. So, where is this one? I'll go to the fifth point while I think about that other. But the last one is seek God in the trial, not away from him. When life gets overwhelmed, we need Jesus more, not less.
That's right.
You know, prayer, scripture, community, these things are essential. Yeah, what about that? Like, we tend to run away when it gets hard. But this is when we kind of should just press on more, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. In James, we read that in the beginning, James 1, 2 through 4. I think it's right away in James, like, could be even the next verse. One of the first things it says, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach.
Mm.
We do need wisdom. We do need that perspective. I forget why I'm saying this. You were saying something that made me think of that, like
seeking God.
God in a trial. Ask for wisdom. Ask for discernment. I think it's Ecclesiastes 8. It says, for every matter in heaven, there is a procedure. There is a way and a right time. We need discernment from God. We need wisdom from God. For every trial, let us not create formulas based on our previous experiences, but let us seek God actively in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will show us the path, you know.
Yeah.
In that, we need specific wisdom for every specific trial.
Mm.
It's cool that James talks about it right away after saying about those various trials that are coming.
Seek wisdom.
Ask for wisdom, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, ask for wisdom. On a word where we get wisdom, it comes from God and his word. So if I go away from it, I'm going to be, you know, in my own, you know, human wisdom or reasoning everything and kind of just battling it on my own. And that's what I think my first initial reaction is, all right, here's the trial. How can I get out of it? How can I make it better? When the first step is really we should go to God right away. And but I also see, you know, maybe we steer away from God too as well, but then we also get away from people too as well, like when trials come. Like, we don't like to see people or have other people see us broken or weak and whatnot, and we don't need help kind of mindset. But this is when this is a beautiful thing about the body of Christ, and we had topics on this in our previous podcast discussions, is like just the help of the body, you know. There's healing in the body. I need a brother, you know, to help me and just give me encouraging word, you know. I need the pastor from the pulpit encouraging me and giving me a message that I needed to hear. And there's a blessing in that. So don't get bitter and really angry at people because you're going through something, but really use this. Say, all right, Lord, this trial is, you know, it's hard, it's tough, but I'm going to press in. What's that one verse I was thinking of? Like, those that are the one about the rock is Christ. You know what that verse that is? It's in Matthew, I was seeing. But those that fall upon a rock or are broken on it, but then there's those that are crushed, you know, who are under the rock. Do you know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's probably in Matthew 21.
Matthew 21.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, maybe someone knows
from
the but the thing is that brokenness, you know, we're on top of the rock. We have a solid foundation. And being broken on that rock is a okay thing, you know. Trials may beat us down, but we're on the rock. We're not leaning on our own understanding. Don't run away from God.
One big reason why trials might be coming is it's very simple. God loves the relationship. Time is running out. God loves the relationship that he has with us. We love it, but he loves it too, maybe even more. It says that God is near to the brokenhearted. Maybe he wants to break us so he could be near to us again. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He wants that closeness. God is a jealous God. He's jealously yearning over the spirit he made to dwell in us in James 4. God wants the closeness. Jesus said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. It's a very strong word, that fervent passion. Jesus wants to be with us. But then in our pride and cold-heartedness, we live our comfortable life, but God wants to break us. He wants to be close to us.
Yeah.
Very simply, you know,
yeah.
The relationship, our calling. That's what P. Ronaldo was saying, Pastor Ronaldo, the previous one, how our call is very strongly related to just our relationship with God, you know. And I forget exactly what he said about it, but like, that's good.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you go watch that episode too as well. And all these episodes that are coming out, this has been a great topic. Maybe a closing remark, Ben Sku, before you fly away as the ball drops on New Year's.
Yeah. For closing comment, be honest with God. Matthew 21, the parable of the two servants. The one servant said, I'll do your will. He didn't. The one servant said, I will not do your will. He ended up doing the master's will. Why? I think it's because he was so honest. So don't try to avoid some feelings or feel condemned. But if you have bitterness and those things, you know what? Bring it to God. Bring it to God in honesty. Bring it to God, you're feeling that way. But be open-minded for his provision. Don't be closed-minded for his provision. Say you're feeling this way. And let him define what's going on inside of you. Don't be afraid to bring it to God in everything by prayer. Don't be anxious for anything. Doesn't mean you have to strive not to be anxious, but just means just cast it all on him.
Amen. Yeah. That's good. Keep trusting in God, even when it's unclear, right?
Yeah.
Like the call, I mean, we're like, okay, what is my call? I don't know my call. Just go by faith, like Abraham said, and he'll move you around maybe a little bit here and there in your life, and he'll put trials in your life, and just stay like what you say, honest, and just the little things, you know, can I give that to God, and can I just do it with my full heart, yeah, he's gonna stand firm in the trials, and even if we stumble, we're stumbling upon him. And there's no place, no better place to stumble upon, you know, on Jesus. And so, yeah. So thank you, Ben Sku, so much for coming, brother.
Yeah.
Man, you've been an amazing brother in my life.
Yeah, likewise.
We did 4 years of Bible college.
You're a man of God.
You're a man of God.
I say with all my heart. Yeah.
Amen, bro. You're amazing. So we just wish you the best going back to Finland. And you're doing a little Bible. Are you teaching Bible college there?
Yeah, we have Bible school going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So people can pray for that.
Yeah, keep that in prayers. I'm sure there's many trials and paper airplanes that they're throwing at Ben Sku for teaching. And so, no, I'm sure it's an amazing time, and you're doing amazing work, and God has called you there. And so just keep staying faithful to his calling, and wow, he's in control, and he can do all things.
He's in control no matter what happens. He is. And we always say that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And tonight you could join us at 8 p.m., right? 8 p.m. it starts. 8 p.m. our service starts here. Greater Grace World Outreach on Moravia Park Drive. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great new year, and keep going by faith. Amen.
Amen. Some good takeaways from this one.